to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm really delighted to be with you today. This is my first in-person speaking gig since March of 2020. I took everything online, and I know I've done over 300 Zoom things in the last 2 years, and I'm so grateful for that technology, but I am so happy to be here today. But I am going to fess up here. I had almost a little bit of a meltdown, was it, honey? A couple of days ago, I don't prepare really early for a new talk. I write it when the spirit hits, and the spirit wasn't hitting. But it wasn't even that. I watched some people who were here speaking live, and I'm talking to Don. I'm like, God, you know, Eugene Holden, he just runs back and forth. He doesn't even look at a note. He's just out there. And then I saw Reverend Jim Webb, and I thought, well, he stands here kind of nicely and probably glances at notes. Those of you who know me know I love to speak, and I love being at the front of the room. And I'm thinking, but this is a brand new talk. I've never done it before. I'm going to have to look at my notes. And I got panicky. And even sitting there, I could feel my heart beating really fast. And that is a new thing for me. So I wanted to get it out there and give it to you. Give it to you so you can like push it out the door and then cut me some slack, okay? But I also want to say what a beautiful service so far. Felicia, we met this morning, and I was going to tell you that when I saw who was on the team today, those of you I didn't know, I went on your Facebook pages and got to know you a little bit, and I wanted to tell you this morning, I loved your Rise Up song on your Facebook page. That song, I tear up. I can't get through it without doing that. And I have Ricky Byers' Holy, Holy Ways in my phone. And that is my go-to get my vibration up kind of thing. So what a great morning already. So I am going to be talking about craving connection. Who knows what that means for you? Do you believe that we crave connections with other people? But we don't crave just any connection, do we? We crave. I know for me, I crave deep, meaningful connections. There was a time in my life when I just craved humans, I think. You know, made some not great choices. Anybody ever done that? like anybody might do. But I think all of us know what we mean when we say we're craving connection. When Reverend Nadine asked me to speak, she shared that the theme for this month is sacred relationships, and she included a write-up about what that means from the science of mind perspective. And for me, that's a great place to start. So I'm going to share, in case you may not all know that and see this. So I'm going to read what Reverend Nadine sent me. And I also want to suggest that if you hear anything that really resonates with you, tuck it away and do more of it. If you hear anything that kind of makes you go, I don't know if that's true, take a look at it later and see if there's something there that might need to get healed a little bit. Anybody ever have those moments where, I don't know why she said that. That's me. That's my stuff. And I may say something, if I say something that you don't resonate with at all, but it doesn't annoy you, great. I mean, just forget that and empty up your head and get some other good stuff. But the thing that Reverend Nadine sent me said, there are many ways we have of experiencing and identifying our relationships. Some we have created with excitement, some with trepidation, but all with motivation from a conscious or subconscious persuasion. We often pass off the challenging ones as wrong timing, wrong choice, or wasted energy, when in truth, all are a gift in reflecting to us where we are lovingly embracing our humanity and where we are not. I love that. That's another one of those kind of. Many of us come to our relationships with a distorted image of who we are, and we attract relationships which magnify our deep subconscious belief patterns of not enough, unworthiness, undeserving, and just plain unlovable. We create barriers to intimacy, trust, and commitment because we fear the sting of self-revelation from a belief that we are broken and miss the opportunity to love all parts of ourselves into the freedom of authentic expression. We are always free to choose the direction of our thought energy, which inevitably will create a reality. Good relationships are born within self-awareness. Good relationships are about self-accountability, self-responsibility, inspired and fueled by self-love, in which the feelings of sacredness take root. Our opportunity, if you choose to accept this mission, is to get our train of thought on the right track through applying spiritual principles and practices, and to be aware and be gentle, because it takes time, right? So after reading that, I asked Spirit what needed to be expressed through me today. And as I mentioned, I had to come up with something really quick because it needed to go out. So I picked craving connection because, as you heard in my bio, I'm a big person on connection, and I do think that we crave it. After I had to give that that message to Reverend Nadine to go out to all of you and on the website, I kind of wished I hadn't done that topic because it was harder to put it all together than I thought it would be. But why can't I just do one of my standards that I could just be out there running the room? But I'm so glad I did, because in the middle of this, and I'll tell you a little bit more later, well, who here speaks? I mean, professionally or semi-professionally. Have you ever been ready to do a talk and then decided you didn't want to do that particular thing and you had to change some stuff at the last minute? That's what came to me early this morning, to change the end of it. And I realized why, and it's because I needed to do it for myself. So I will tell you where that is so you'll get a better idea of why I needed to do it. But the Reverend Dr. Jim Lockhart, who's just a really dear friend of mine, and I know many of you know him, he was the founder of the Greater Baltimore Center for Spiritual Living. He wrote the Daily Guides this month in the Science of Mind magazine. And his inspiration is the importance of relationships to our human experience. On July 1st, he writes, "As humans, we are relational beings. Our primary relationship is with spirit or God." On July 2nd, he writes, "The second most important relationship is in life is with self. Following our relationship with spirit, this relationship with self sets the stage for how we exist and express in the world." And on July 3rd, he writes, "After our relationship with spirit and self are our relationships with others. While these vary in degree and intensity, all are based on the quality of our primary relationship with spirit and self. So by seeing our divine connection, we create the basis for authentic relationships with others." And so what he's really saying there is our outer relationships, every single one of them, reflect our relationship with ourself. Do you buy that? Okay. Have you ever dated the same person in a different body? Or had the same boss, like you left a job because your boss was so horrendous, and oh no, there they are again. Or you got rid of that person because they just were not for you. Oh no, now you're dating them again. What's the common denominator? Who always shows up for that party? Me. So that's where I need to be looking. Nobody out there. They don't have to change a darn thing, do they? It's all about me and what I'm doing. If I don't heal that stuff, I'm just going to keep dating those same people. And it's not going to be fun. I'm going to be blaming everybody out there. Well, if they just change and be different, I'd be happy. Nobody's ever done that before, right? So in the July Science of Mind magazine, Dennis Merritt Jones talked about how we each came here hardwired to be in relationship. And as an introvert, I know what that means, but I'm picky. Anybody else picky about not just how you do relationship, but how often you do them? I mean, I have friends that I know I could call today and say, "I need you," but we may not have talked for a year. Anybody else do those kind of relationships? I call them low maintenance relationships. They know they can call me. They need me. I'm there. But we don't have to talk on the phone. We don't have to meet on Zoom. We just kind of, I don't know what we do, but we know. We just know. So I'm not really big on a lot of people in my life. And some people find that interesting, because just because I can stand up here and speak, some people think I can't be an introvert. But that's just because you don't understand what introverts really are about. We're not shy and awkward and social misfits. We just guard our energy very carefully. So this crowd today is such a nice size for me. I love it. And so Dennis talked about how we're hardwired to be in these relationships, be it with our partner, with our family, with our friends, with the work associates, with the person clerking in the store. We are hardwired to be in relationship with all of these people. And I love the messages this morning because they all spoke to that. We are one. What I do to me, I do to you. We are one. When I hurt you, I hurt. I just may not recognize that that's what's going on. We realize that every relationship is like a sacred vessel, a ship in which we journey together to a common destination. In a conscious relationship, we don't just see it and feel it, we know it. And in my write-up that I gave Reverend Nadine, I said, to the extent that we are conscious about connection, to the extent that we have our heart open, to the extent that we are bringing our full selves, those are the connections that are going to benefit mutually the people that we connect with. To the extent that we think we're connecting, but we're shut down, or we're expecting something, or we're not giving of ourselves, those relationships are probably going to be disappointing for both parties involved. As you heard in my introduction, I did found the On Purpose Woman Global Community in 2000 because I wanted to provide opportunities for women to create the connections they craved. Back then, I didn't use words like connection or craving or community even. It was on purpose networking for women. That was the times, and that's what we did. We were networkers, you know. So all I knew, though, is that I wanted to bring women together. So I threw a party at my house. I invited women I knew, and they invited women they knew, and 60-some women showed up for that very first gathering at my home. I called it a girlfriend party. And I had them, I think it was four times in that 1 year. Every quarter I did one between 1999 and 2000. A number of meaningful things happened during those four meetings. One is that we were connecting in a way I had never experienced before. I have a corporate background in corporate finance. The women, the few women who were making it up the level a little bit, we weren't playing well together. And so I really got along with men at that time in my life better than women. I didn't feel like I had a lot of really close women friends because I didn't trust women. Anybody can relate to that at all? Well, again, you know, I needed to be looking a little somewhere else other than at the women out there. But they were forming relationships in my family room that mattered, that could help them professionally and personally. They were talking about things that mattered. It wasn't what I refer to as idle cocktail chatter. It was deeper stuff. I didn't know what that was called. I knew I liked it, but I was also uncomfortable with it because it was new for me. Now, I remember going to a seminar, you know, in the 30 years ago when people were hugging, and I was like, what kind of cult is this? You know, I was pretty guarded, to say the least. And so the amazing thing about this first day is that everything flowed so easily and beautifully. And so I decided I needed to take this out of my home and give women an opportunity to show up and practice being who they really are and connecting in a very honest, true way that benefits all of us. And 22 years later, I'm still able to provide those opportunities. And my life has just been enriched in ways I can't begin to tell you. And I bring that up because I had this idea. And that's not the topic today, but anybody who has an idea, you know, and you don't know why you're doing it, anybody ever just acted on something and you can't, it doesn't make sense, or you don't know why, or you don't know how, or you don't know what you're doing? All I knew is I wanted to bring women together, and everything fell into place. And when it didn't, I just tried something else. I had quit my corporate job already. So I was working for a seminar company at the time, and they had left the area. So I was unemployed kind of for a bit. So I just took a leap and did this. And I had lots of people telling me why it wouldn't work, or they didn't understand what it was, or, you know, how are you doing that? What are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just taking the next right step or the next wrong step. Can anybody relate to this?
Yes.
But all I knew is I wanted to connect with really cool women who were making a difference out there on the planet. And so I did this for me as much as I did for other women. Because we are social creatures. And as it was mentioned in my bio, I discovered that deep connection is one of my core values. I didn't know what a core value was probably back then, but I strive to do that from this place of authenticity, openness, and curiosity. And I think that's the difference between connection and just meeting someone. If we can be open with ourselves, if we can be curious about the other person, and if we can come from this authentic place, we tend to attract that in other people. Because while we are all one, and while we are all connected, we don't all want everybody in our lives, do we? On a deep level, let me, you know, do you? We don't have time for that, for one thing, but not everybody's our people, you know, that we want to spend time with on that kind of basis. Doesn't mean we can't love them. Doesn't mean we can't want good for them. It just means that, you know, we need to be kind of discerning about the people that we let in. And I think to the extent that we can be real, authentic, open, curious, we will attract the people that match us, that match that vibration. And really great things can come out of that. So why does authentic connection matter? It matters because it can give us a sense of fulfillment that material possessions, money, a great job just can't do. It feels like a little corner of our world that those things can't fill. Authentic connection matters because it can boost our creativity. I prefer to work in solitude. I am not a great group worker person. I like to do my thing, and then I like to run it by people. Or I like to call somebody and say, can I show you this? Here's what I'm thinking about doing. Or I'll, you know, anybody ever have to write those emails that you don't know if you should send or not? My husband, Don, is like my sounding board. Do you think I should write this or send this? Or is this a little too harsh? Or am I coming from a good place here? I like to do that with people. I like to have creative juices flowing with other people. But I need to do it alone first. But that's one of the beauties of deep connection, is that we have those people that we can call and say, you know, or I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? Or can I run this by you? I've got this great idea. Do you want to hear it? And sometimes those are the same people who have our backs and go, have you thought that through? You know, so we want those people too. We don't want people who are just yes people. We want to develop those connections where we trust each other and know that we're good for each other. And authentic connection matters because it can create opportunities for collaboration and creation in a way that we can't do on our own. I have had so many opportunities, chance opportunities, you know, just happen to meet that person. Should have never met them. I shouldn't have been there at that time. They shouldn't have been there, but we met. And something really wonderful came out of it that enriched both of us. And sometimes it enriches, you know, our bottom line, our work, our relationships. So that's another reason why authentic connection really matters. Those are my top three reasons. You may come up with some of your own, but just remember that to connect authentically, we have to be fully present and we have to be engaged. If we're not, we may very well miss those opportunities for creative connection. We may miss those opportunities for collaboration. Because if we're focused on what we want to say, if we're focused on it's all about us, this other person could be standing there telling us something that would be so great for us, and we're not hearing it because we're too focused on us. When I used to teach, I don't really do this much anymore, but I used to teach women entrepreneurs about networking, and I would say, think about the person across from you and what can you do to help them get what they need, not what can they do for you. Because if we're all doing that, I don't care whether it's in business, whether it's here in this room, whether it's in life in general, if we're all coming from that perspective of what can I do to help you get what you need and want, we're all doing that. Wouldn't that be cool? It doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to give to you, Mary Jane. It doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily give back to me. You're going to maybe spread it around somewhere else. All it means is that it's in motion. All of this giving and receiving is in motion. And that can only happen if we're paying attention and if we're really being in authentic relationships. So how do we create authentic connection? First, it's essential to understand you can't force a connection and you don't want to. Because if you have an idea of that someone should be connected to you, and I'm just talking about meeting someone, I'm not even talking about, you know, dating or anything like that, but you can use the same principles, I believe. But if you think that somebody should be connected to you, or they should want to be connected to you, or they have something that you need, you can't force that. And I don't know about you, but do you have I don't know about you, but me, I have this knack of kind of knowing when there's an agenda with someone. Anybody else have that? And like they're saying one thing, but they're doing something else. And so when you're not being real and authentic, and when you've got an agenda of, oh, I wish they'd stop talking so I can tell them why they should buy my product, or why they should take me out, then that's not an authentic connection. And the thing here is that the more that we're inauthentic in our connections, the more we will attract those people who want the inauthentic self. And if someone wants the inauthentic self and we end up being in some sort of relationship with them, we've got to keep that person going. We've got to keep that inauthentic person going to satisfy them, until we get healthy enough to know that that's not good for us. But you see the kind of the spiral we can go down there where, okay, I'm going to just twist myself into a knot because I think this is what you want. It's not really who I am, but how long can you keep that up? And I think it's really important when we're just out there meeting people for the first time that they get to know who we are. And I'm not saying that we spill our guts, that we tell them all the dark stuff that we went through, or, you know, that might be for the second time we meet them, but that we let them know that this is real, you know, flawed and all, right? I mean, I came up here and told you that, you know, I was like not wanting to do this too much. So I was a little up, you know, like, ugh, because it helped me to kind of get it out there because that's a new feeling for me. I'm not used to that. And it also, like, I want to make friends with all of you who don't know me and that you, like I say, cut me some slack. Also, who here has read The Celestine Prophecy? Really old book, 1993. Okay, a few of you. I bought that book when it came out in 1993. And it's a set of 9 insights. James Redfield is the author. And the insights are described through a story, like a novel. I didn't like that story. I thought it was the most poorly written book I had ever read. And I would say that in mixed company sometimes. No, you don't understand. You just missed the point, Jenny. You just didn't get it. You know, no, I got it. The 9 insights were brilliant. Don't make me read that other stuff. And I bring that up because the first insight of the 9 ties in so well to what I'm talking about. And I'm going to read it because I've been paraphrasing it for years. But I looked it up yesterday and it's like, oh, I forgot that it actually said that. So the first insight is, I don't think that anything happens by coincidence. No one is here by accident. Now, you've all heard that before, right? Everyone who crosses our path has a message for us. Otherwise, they would have taken another path or left earlier or later. The fact that these people are here means that they are in our lives for some reason. And I really live by that. And again, we have to be paying attention to notice that they showed up. But isn't it interesting when those things happen? And, well, if I were 5 minutes later or 5 minutes early, we wouldn't have met. Now, we may also never know why we came together. They may leave and have gotten something they needed from us and we'll never know. Or maybe it's just percolating for some future time. Or maybe we just needed to hear something they had to say and we don't even attribute it to them. But I brought up The Celestine Prophecy because the first good way to create authentic connections is to be open at seemingly random meetings with others. Be open. Remember I said be open and curious? So the way that we create authentic connections, deep connections, is to be open and curious. So we want to be open to seemingly random meetings with others. Be curious why this person has crossed your path. Now, you don't have to go to a deep dive with everyone. Somebody may cross your path and you just know it was a cordial meeting. You didn't feel it, but we have to feel it in our gut. You know, trust that intuition that says, we have something to talk about here. Or I really like this person. I just like to have coffee with them. So trust that. And a second way to create authentic connections is to be open to who the other person is and why they crossed your path, but who they are at a deeper level, not who you wish they would be, not who you think they might be, not making up stories about them, but who are they at this deeper level? Be open and curious about the authentic, them. 3, be open to what happens. Let go of any agenda that you have and be curious about where a conversation might go. Relax. I know back when I was learning to network, kind of not the right way, if I want to be honest, I couldn't wait to tell somebody about what I did. And, you know, if you do that enough, people, their eyes glaze over and they start to try to get away from you and they don't want to talk to you. If we have an agenda where we can't wait to say our stuff when we're talking to a new person, they're going to know. It's going to be inauthentic. It's so much easier to just relax and know that if you're supposed to say something, the time will present itself and you can. And some people have said to me, well, Jenny, what if I let them talk and then they don't let me talk? They're not your people. you know, just wish them well and let them go and go find somebody who is your people. And number four, be open about yourself. Again, when I mentioned that if we're walking around with this mask on, other than a COVID mask, but this mask on that says, I don't want you to see who I really am. If we're walking around with that and we're meeting people and they like that masked person, it's not going to go well for us, especially the longer we do that. So the fourth way to create authentic connections is to be open about yourself and respond from an authentic place, warts and all. Perfection, you know, is a myth. And there's a lot of people out there trying to be perfect, trying to look perfect. And we know that they're not. But yet we still compare ourselves to them. I moved into a new office one time many years ago, and it was empty, except there was a little rolled up piece of paper in the desk. And it said, let's see, what did it say? I just lost it because I got confused with another thing I was going to say. Well, that one said, be kind, others are facing tough battles. That's what that one said. But the other one was about, it'll come to me later, or it may not. I'm sorry. I'm just going to. So anyway, when we create authentic connections one-on-one, there's another way to do it. We can do it in community. So think about the community that you've created here. The beauty about taking your connections and creating some sort of community has another added bonus is that the connections deepen because you're in community. You may have started community because of the people, but then they get to deepen. So I want you to just relax for a minute in your chair and take a breath. And then I want you to look around the room, and I want you to bring to mind those of you who have helped create this community have been coming. If you're a guest today, you don't need to do this, or you may want to think about why you came and who you came with. But look around and think about some words or phrases of what you get from being a member of this community. I'll give you just a few seconds, and I'm going to ask you to shout a few of those out.
Joy,
wonderful. What else?
Acceptance.
It's important, very important.
Warmth.
Peace.
Hugs,
yes. Anything else?
Support.
Anybody feel seen when you show up here?
Yes.
You know, because that's really the basic thing that we all want. We want to be seen, don't we? We want to know we matter. Who said something over here?
Inspiration,
of course. Anything else? What do you share them back there? Gussie, huh?
I thought you said seen, but we thought you said sane.
Insanity,
like sanity.
Oh. Well, maybe, right? Maybe. Yeah, yeah. So having a sense of community just happens when people feel they matter to each other, when people feel seen, and maybe sane too, and heard, when you feel like you're part of something bigger than yourself. And it can happen in rooms like this. It can happen. I resisted Zoom for a number of years. I was glad that I had gotten on 2 years before the pandemic, because then I was, you know, positioned to actually just take everything online. But I couldn't understand how you could connect in a really deep way on social media like that, on Zoom. And I tell you, it's amazing what we can do, because it's how people show up. You have to show up and be that real person coming from that heart space. Reggie, is that your way of telling me my time's about up? Okay. Yeah, I read this in the car here to myself, and I said, Adon, it's 12 minutes when I read it. So I thought, oh, I can do a few other things here and add to it. So here's what I do need to say this. I'm not going to say everything I'd meant to say here. However, I've talked about, you know, the importance of deep connection. I've talked about how to create deeper connection, how to create community, and the importance of that. And I was going to say a few more things about that until this morning, when I decided I needed to say something else. So I want to tell you all really quick about a book that I'm reading. Matt Kahn, All for Love. Anybody know Matt Kahn? The Transformative Power of Holding Space. And the reason I wanted to share it with you is this book is kind of kicking my butt. Anybody have books like that, that you think that, wow, I've been doing this stuff a long time and I thought I knew this stuff? And it's about holding space. It's about holding space for everyone. And I was telling myself, wow, you know, I was a seminar leader, a transformational seminar leader for in the 80s and 90s, and I've run a women's group for 22 years, and I've run boards, and I'm a speaker and facilitator, blah, blah, blah. I can hold space. I know how to hold space. then I realized I'm really great at holding space for people I agree with and for people who have the same values I have and for people I haven't judged as being not my people. And that was big for me because I'm still struggling with this. If I can live what this book is suggesting, you know, I have those moments when I'm reading it. I'm like on chapter one still. This was the introduction kicked my butt. The introduction. But who has experienced this where you have these moments, like these moments of enlightenment, like these seconds where you think you know the answer to it, right? And it go, oh, it makes such sense. Oh, and then as soon as I think it makes sense, it's like, what was that? What was that? What? You know? And so I just was in that place this morning of, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but it feels really good when I get there to that moment where I can hold everyone in love. I don't have to be walking down the street with them to do that. I can do that in a different way. But what I know, and I will leave you with this, that my vibration of love and deep connection and space holding is much higher and much better for the planet than the other vibration, the lower vibration of fear and anger and resentment that I can find myself getting into. Because it's been a tough number of years, hasn't it? There's lots of stuff. We've got so much division and so many ways that we can be separate from each other. And so this is my, so next time you see me, ask me, how's that book going? It's little. Do you see that? I would normally read a book like this in a day. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to pick it up now. You know, it's just, it's hard. It's hard and it takes work. And I just haven't hit anything like that for a while. So thank you for listening to that piece. The book's here if you want to take a look at it. I don't get any money if you buy the book. And I want to thank you all for listening to me today.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.